a Kia SUV is capable of taking you far. But when you use it locally to help your community, you go even further. Whether that's carrying cargo, bringing your team with you,
ready,
or navigating new terrain, power up your capability with the right Kia SUV. Do more with the Kia Sportage, Kia Telluride, Kia Sorento, or Kia Seltos. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks for listening to the Legacy Church Podcast. We hope that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. Follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
When that 1 minute of silence started, how many of you were sort of like, hey, what's going on here? Who's something? Yeah, yeah. How many of you felt this is kind of awkward, you know, 1 minute of silence, awkward feeling, like something's supposed to be happening maybe? How many of you, raise your hand if 1 minute of silence was like a welcome thing to you? You're like, this is the first, okay, Brian in the back is like, maybe this is the first minute of silence you've had in your entire week. And so some of us maybe were like, oh yes, finally some peace and quiet. You know, it's interesting. We did that little experiment because it's sort of a way to introduce the idea of silence, that some of us are really uncomfortable. I would say maybe the majority of us are uncomfortable with silence. And others of us, we welcome silence because if you're like, you know, if you have young kids like we do at our house, you know, 1 minute of silence is like unheard of and the rarest of things that happen during the course of a week. But we have different reactions and different feelings about silence. But we live in a state and in a world of constant noise and interruption, noise and conversation. In fact, Kathy Thompson, she's a professor, teaches a course on conversation at a college in Milwaukee. She is quoted in a Wall Street Journal article as saying that we have become a nation of interrupters. A nation of interrupters. And Thompson goes on to say, we warn new friends at our house to be careful because we treat conversation like a competitive sport. The first one to take a breath is considered the listener. And isn't that true? I think that's a true reflection of how we approach silence. It makes most of us, I would say, uncomfortable. We don't know what to do in silence. We don't know what to respond. We feel like we've got to say something, right, to break the silence. But silence is actually an interesting thing. I think it can. It's kind of a two-way street. And today we are continuing this series, Where is God When?, talking about the circumstances in life in which we ask that question, where is God? Where is God? And today we're talking about where is God when he's silent? And last week we kicked off this series talking about where is God when it storms? I mean, where is God in the midst of challenging circumstances in our life? And today we continue that talking about where is God when he's silent? Now, silence can be sort of ambiguous. And here's what I mean by that. Sometimes one person can walk into a room and there can be total silence because they don't know the other person. But there's also cases where two people, one person walks into a room and they know the other person who's already in the room so well that there doesn't need to be anything said. Sometimes silence can be a positive thing. Sometimes it can be a reflection of something that's hurtful or trying. Like sometimes the house is quiet after the loss of a loved one or just after a divorce. and there's no noise at all in a house. The silence has this sort of ambiguity about it. It can reflect a positive thing or it can reflect a negative thing. But I think the overarching theme that I want us to talk about is, what do we do when it feels like God is silent? You know, I think most often the conversations I have with people when it comes to challenging aspects of their faith is centered around this idea that God is silent, that they don't feel like they're hearing from God, that they don't feel like their prayers are being heard. They don't feel like God is really involved in their life. They feel like he's distant, or he doesn't care, or he's just not listening to me. I think that's one of the things that threatens the vitality of our faith. When we feel like God is not speaking, when there's silence, when it comes to our relationship with God, we're not sure how to respond to that. And most often, we associate silence from God as something is wrong. If we feel like we're not hearing from God, we think, well, there must be something that I'm doing wrong, or there must be something wrong with me, right? The Bible actually has numerous instances of silence. And the writers of Scripture reflect, I think, a common feeling that we have, that we do want to hear from God. That when we read the pages of Scripture, we read of a God and learn of a God and experience a God who speaks and acts. God does something. God moves. God speaks, and then he is on the move. And so when God is silent, it throws us for a loop. We say, well, I read about in the Bible a God who is active and speaking and doing things and moving. And for God to be silent maybe just doesn't fit with who I understand God to be. The psalmist says in Psalm 83, O God, do not remain silent. Do not turn a deaf ear. Do not stand aloof, O God. That's sort of this desire that we don't want God to just stand on the sidelines. We want to hear from him. In Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. You ever felt that way? You ever cried out to God or asked God for something, maybe for weeks or even years? Or prayed to God about something and you felt like there was absolutely no response, as if God was not even paying attention. Maybe it was the sickness of a friend or family member, or maybe it was a relationship or marriage or a job situation in which you're struggling to find a job and you've been praying about this job or this sickness or this relationship, and you feel like God is just, like, maybe the call got dropped, right? Like maybe God's just not, like, I'm not getting reception here. Maybe God just can't hear me. Or like I said, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Why does it seem at times like God is silent? I think there are a couple reasons. The first is that we can't hear him. Now that sounds simplistic, but let me explain to you what I mean by that. We can't hear God sometimes because there is so much noise happening. Now I have two little boys at home. Most of you know that. Many of you know that. And they tend to be noisy, right? I mean, there is, and it feels weird when the boys are off with their aunt or grandmother, or they're not home, and maybe me and Megan are home, and it's quiet, and it just feels weird. It's like we're looking around. Maybe something's wrong, or somebody's got hurt, been hurt, or whatever. But they are noisy, and sometimes Megan and I try. We try to have conversation with each other, and sometimes there's so much other noise happening that we might as well not even try. The TV might be on, the toys might be going, the boys might be loud and screaming, and even if we're like 10 feet from each other, having a conversation, it's just like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wow. I mean, it's just, we might as well just write it down on a piece of paper, you know, and send a message or an email or something like that. But we can't hear him. I think there's so much. One author has called busyness the great spiritual enemy of our day. And we've talked about this and at least a couple of times since I've been here, that busyness really drowns out the voice of God. That there is so many voices that we're trying to listen to and so much noise in our life that it drowns out the one voice that we really need to hear. That's why we did that illustration at the beginning, that we're uncomfortable with silence. Because we're just uncomfortable with it. The busyness drowns out the voice of God. Jesus says in the book of Matthew, "Let him who has ears to hear, hear." Well, that's kind of weird. It's kind of a weird, maybe a strange statement for Jesus to make. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. Well, yes, I have ears. But I think what Jesus is saying there is that there's a difference between hearing and really hearing. Like if you've been in conversation with someone, maybe you are standing less than 2 feet from them and you're talking and you could tell by the expression, I know this doesn't, none of the people in this room do that, other people, but you can be in conversation talking with them less than 2 feet away from them and you feel like they're not really hearing you. Like you're talking to them and just by the demeanor, or you ever been in, and sometimes I do this, it's a bad habit, but sometimes, you know, when someone's talking to you, you have a tendency to look away. If you get distracted really easily, you might look away or look off into the distance or, you know, and what that says to the other person in a very explicit way is, I'm not paying attention to what you're saying. And like I said, I'm guilty of that. Maybe you are too. But we know that you could be talking to someone, or you could be on the other end of that, listening to someone, and you're hearing them, like you hear the sound, but you're not really hearing them. The same is true, I believe, of our life with God. That we could be hearing and reading scripture and hearing what God is saying, but we're not really hearing God, meaning that it's not really taking root into our life. As if we're just casually watching TV and, you know, just sort of like killing time, right? Where whenever you watch TV and you're you want to do something that's sort of mindless, right? You have that thing that's like the mindless activity, and sometimes that's what it's like with our life with God. We hear God through the pages of Scripture, through circumstances, through people in our life, but we don't really hear Him. And there was a time in my life about 12 years ago now where I was hearing God, but I wasn't really hearing God. God was trying to speak to me through circumstance and people who were even sort of lovingly trying to express, you know, concern for, you know, my life and some choices I was making that were really unhealthy at the time. And I remember I had a good friend who stood in a parking lot with me one afternoon and just said, you know, hey, I feel like this is not good for you. That was God's way of just trying to shout at me, going, hey, like the road that you're going down is not going to end well for you, and I'm trying to keep you from unnecessary harm. And I was hearing him speak, my friend, but I wasn't really hearing. Maybe you've got a situation like that where you've been in a circumstance, and sometimes it takes getting to the other side of that before we realize what God was really trying to say to us through someone else or through that circumstance or just in our own time with Him. Sometimes we can't hear Him, but sometimes God chooses to be silent. Reasons why God is silent, sometimes He chooses to be silent. More than 30 times in the Old Testament, the phrase hiding of the face appears. Sometimes God just chooses to be silent. And it really has nothing to do with choices that we make, or sometimes it does. I mean, sometimes God chooses to be silent because his people have not really followed him, have become disobedient. But sometimes God just goes silent. And so it's not always the case that something is wrong with us, or that we've done something wrong, or we're just, you know, there's something just not working with our spiritual life. Sometimes God just chooses to be silent. Jesus, in fact, uses silence. Jesus would tell stories and parables, and especially when Jesus performed miracles, there would just be this reaction that was silence. Like what Jesus was saying was so profound, or so sort of like it created this mystery, that the audience would just sit there speechless. In Matthew 7, 9, Jesus has one of those moments where, you know, he would frequently ask a question that just sort of evoked silence. Like, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, I would, of course, not give my son a stone. It evokes silence. But Jesus also chose the posture of silence. In Matthew 26, it says, Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Sometimes we have to show restraint. Now that's hard. See, sometimes we so want to justify our actions that when we are given the opportunity to show restraint, it's hard for us to resist speaking. But sometimes the wisest thing we can do in a circumstance is to remain silent. Jesus, in the face of religious leaders, remained silent. And ultimately, Jesus on the cross felt like God was silent. About 3 in the afternoon, Matthew 27, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? From Psalm 22. But Jesus knows what it's like to feel like God is distant, like God is not listening to us, like God is not hearing us. In this moment of anguish, where we could say, you know, in the moment that Jesus needed to feel his heavenly Father's presence the most, in a critical moment of his life, he felt like God was silent. So what do we do with those moments of silence? What do we do when God is silent? Because I think that for us to experience more of God in this life, we've got to change the way that we approach silence. That we've got to move from this thinking that there's something wrong with us, or that we've done something wrong, into more of a purpose for why there's silence. See, I think silence can actually be an opportunity for us to lean in to God's presence. To lean into God's presence. I believe that in silence, God invites us into his presence. So what if we began to change the way that we thought and viewed silence? What if instead of in those moments of silence, we thought, well, what's wrong with me? What have I done wrong? What am I not doing? What if instead we viewed those moments as an invitation to step further in to God's presence? I think it would change a lot. In those moments where we instead of questioning if God is really even listening, we say, God, what are you trying to do in the midst of this? You know, it's in those moments of silence that Jesus fills us with his presence. You know, Jesus was born into a long period of silence. There was an Old Testament commentator who talks in preparing for this week. They were talking about that throughout the Old Testament, you see a little bit of this withdrawing of God's, you know, audible speaking to his people. That it starts out on this kind of high note, like God is speaking a lot. People are hearing, the Israelites are hearing from God, and then just sort of, it sort of like, you know, fades off or drifts away. And then Jesus breaks the silence of hundreds of years. It's in those moments of silence that Jesus breaks through. So I have three things that I want us to remember in moments of silence. When we feel like God is not speaking to us, that we haven't heard from God, three things that I know to be true. The first is that God hears you. God hears you, and God is still in control, and God is still working. God hears you. Every time that we pray those prayers that we feel like God is not responding, that he's not speaking or answering, God still hears us. God responds to every single prayer. But sometimes he doesn't respond in the way that we think or ask him to. God hears us. He doesn't get tied up with other people's requests and prayers and cries and say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Could you repeat that? Yeah, I was kind of busy over here doing this whole thing and I didn't hear your... That's not the way that God operates. God hears us. God is still in control. If silence is an invitation into what God is doing, it could be an invitation and a reminder that he is still in control, that he's still God, and that God is still working. Sometimes God does his best work in periods of silence. So I want us to become people who are comfortable with silence. To know that God is still working, that God is still moving, that he hears us. Psalm 62 says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. The English Standard Version of that same verse says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. So what if God's silence was an invitation for you and me to press further into him? To not withdraw, but to move further into him. Oswald Chambers says his silence is the sign that he is bringing you into an even more wonderful understanding of himself. What if silence was a gift that God gives us to a deeper understanding of who he is? What if instead of withdrawing in silence, we saw silence as an invitation to move closer to him, to a deeper understanding of who he is? So I want you to think for a moment. What is something in your life that you feel like God has been silent about? Maybe it's a prayer that you've been praying for a long time, weeks or months or even years, or maybe it's a circumstance that you feel like you're crying out to God to change that circumstance, but he's not responding. Or maybe it's something in your community, in our community, where we were asking God to change that. We feel like he's not responding. What is the thing that you feel like God is not hearing? not responding. I want you to just think about that for a moment. And in this moment, I want to invite you, if you're comfortable, just close your eyes and think about that thing that you feel like God is silent about. And I want you to just take a moment. We're going to do that minute of silence again. And in this moment, I want to invite you to just put that, whatever that thing is, before God. And just say, God, help me to trust you in the silence. God, help me to trust you in the silence. So we're going to take about a minute, and then I'll pray. Father, in the silence, we know that you are here. We know that you're here. We know that you hear us. So God, we thank you for that reminder that you hear us, that you're still working, that you're still in control. You have not withdrawn. But God, give us the strength and the faith to receive that invitation to move closer to you. To know that you've given us silence as a gift. And God, we want to experience you more. We want to know you more. And God, help us to see the silence as an invitation to a deeper understanding of who you are, a more powerful experience of your presence. And God, in those moments where we cry out, where we ask for your response, just give us the faith to withstand the temptation to withdraw, the discouragement that comes, to know that you hear us and that you're with us. And God, we ask for that. Increase our faith in moments where we feel like you don't hear us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you have enjoyed this message and pray God's blessing upon you. Remember to follow us on social media at Legacy Church GA or visit lcga.info to learn more.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.